Today we're going to talk about how halacha views video surveillance cameras in halacha in issues like yichud, hashgacha, and other situations where there is a halacha requirement to see something. If you see something through video surveillance, is that legitimate or not? So I think we'll begin the conversation with a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chaf Dalem and Aleph, where the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan. Our rabbis teach, Re'inuhu b'mayim, re'inuhu b'ashoshes, re'inuhu b'avim ein meidim olav. That if witnesses say, we didn't actually see the moon, but we saw it was reflected in the water, or we saw it was reflected in a glass lantern, or we saw it through thin clouds, they may not testify about it because you need a direct sighting of the new moon. The simple understanding is indeed that in order for Eidus HaChodesh, testimony of seeing the new moon, to be valid, you actually have to see the new moon. That being said, the Rabbeinu Chananel does not understand the Gemara like that. Rabbeinu Chananel understands the Gemara the following. Tanu, this is his commentary. Tani Rav, Ra'inuhu b'mayim, perish hayumayim lefanav ra'a bahen suras levana ve'harim ve'hirim rosho liros ha'levana b'shamayim v'lo ra'a klum. If a person saw the moon's reflection in the water, or a lantern for that matter, but when he lifted his head to see the moon in the sky, he did not see it, then the testimony is invalid. So the reason, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, why the testimony is invalid is because, obviously, when he looked up, he didn't see the moon, so what he saw in the water was not really the moon. This interpretation would seem to indicate that the purpose of seeing was simply what's called beirur, simply to clarify the truth. And if you can clarify it other than with sight, maybe it would be okay. And the problem here is that because when he picked his head up, he didn't see the moon, so that's why the testimony was not valid. But that's really the issue. In halacha, if we're required to see something, you actually have to see it, or perhaps if the purpose of seeing is simply to ascertain that something is true, then maybe seeing is not crucial. Maybe there's another way to achieve, or maybe not seeing it directly is necessary. Maybe simply knowledge through another means, like video surveillance, would be sufficient. We have this concept or this debate about whether, when the Torah commands you, for example, to hear something, do you have to hear it directly? If you hear it also through technology, is that valid? We have this. We had this a lot in COVID. The question of hearing something through Zoom. There is, for example, hearing the Megillah through Zoom. That's a famous debate. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah states that if you hear the shofar through an echo, so it's no good. And the postgame discuss why is it no good. And Rav Moshe Feinstein says that there's really no problem in hearing something, or he thinks there is no problem through hearing something through an echo. The problem with hearing something through an echo is that it's a weak sound. But if through technology you hear it as a stronger sound, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Aruch Chaim, Chelek Beis, Siman Kuf Ches writes, if you hear something, let's say, through a microphone, so he says, Efshar ein limchos biad elu shirotim likro ha-megillah ayde a-microphone mitzad alacha. It's possible we shouldn't prevent those who want to read the Megillah through a microphone, because again, it's not a problem through hearing it through technology, even though the halacha is you have to hear the Megillah. Through technology, it seems that it would be okay. Again, he only allows us when it comes to mitzvos drabanan, like the Megillah reading, but he might not allow it through mitzvos de oraisa. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, famously in Minchas Shlomo, Chelakav Siman Tes, thinks that it's no good because you need to hear it directly. So just like there's this debate when it comes to hearing, we have this debate potentially when it comes to seeing. If you see something through technology, is that valid? Is it not valid? The truth is, you might depend on the specific mitzvah. Could be that when it comes to certain mitzvos, the requirement of perhaps seeing each other requires actually physically being present together. And other times, perhaps, there's no requirement of that when halacha says you have to see something, maybe there's no requirement of seeing something. So it depends really on the halacha. So for example, The Rama in Ibn Ezer, Simon Mem Beis, Seif Dalet, writes explicitly that the witnesses to Kiddushin actually have to see the Chasan give the Kala the ring. And if they don't actually see the giving of the ring, so then even if they heard her say, and they see him with the ring, and then a second layer they see her with the ring, if they actually don't see the Nesina, the actual giving of the ring from the Chasan to the Kala, it's not good. Even though the Mordechai seems to say that potentially it might be good, it seems that the general practice is that the Edim actually have to see it, and they have to physically see it. Rav Chaim Brisker pointed out that this is what's called Edim Lekiyum Hadavar, that perhaps the Edim are not merely do not merely serve as evidentiary, as an evidentiary of a function of providing evidence that the transaction took place, but they perhaps are a ritual component, that they need to be there as part of this ritual when it comes to certain halacha institutions like davar shebe'erva, like kiddushin, perhaps also with gittin, that you require witnesses who are present there to concretize the ceremony. For example, it's one thing for me to say I want to marry this woman. It's another thing for me to say in front of two witnesses that I certainly want to marry this woman. I certainly have in mind. What's my proof? Look, I'm doing this in front of two witnesses. So perhaps it's a greater form of gemiras das, of clarifying that this is what I want to do. I'm doing this in front of two witnesses, and perhaps they actually have to be present. So I think all poskim nowadays will say that witnesses through video surveillance would not be good. You know, when it comes to, there's discussion a lot through COVID whether the Zoom minyanim are okay. And most poskim seem to say that the Zoom minyanim are not okay. And why? Why not through video surveillance? And there's the requirement of presence, that the 10 men to make up a minyan have to, not only see each other, but they actually be present in the same room. Rav Hershel Schechter was machmir about that. He had a piece in one of his tshuvos about, many of his tshuvos about COVID, regarding Tseruf Laminyan. Rav Schechter pointed out that for Dvarim Shebikdusha, it's pretty clear that all 10 have to be in one room. And he was against, perhaps, if some of the people were on one porch and some people were on another porch, even if they could see each other, Schechter actually held that that was insufficient. He actually held they have to be in the same room. So sometimes when the Gemara talks about seeing, it's not merely that they have to see each other, perhaps through technology, and not only do they have to see each other physically, but perhaps with respect to certain halacha institutions, they actually have to be physically present. That being said, of course, many poskim held that answering amen, that doesn't require perhaps sight, that perhaps that through technology you can answer amen. That's more of a shmia question, of listening question. But many poskim, like Rav Asher Weiss, had a piece in during COVID where he wrote that hearing tefillah by way of technology, by telephone or any technological means, obviously you can't join as part of the minyan, but you can answer Amen Yehi Shmei Rabbah. And he said, based on that famous story in the Gemara in Sukkah, where a whole bunch of people were waving flags, there was a massive shul, and you couldn't hear the person recite, let's say, the brachos or birchos haTorah, but people would wave flags to say when it's appropriate to answer Amen. So the key is, perhaps answering Amen, you don't actually have to physically hear the person directly, but to join for minyan, when not even physically seeing each other insufficient, but you actually need presence in the same room. One issue where perhaps video surveillance might work would be Hilchos Yichud. There's a halacha that a man is not allowed to be secluded in a private room with a woman. There is a leniency in Ibn Ezer, Simon Chav Beis Eif Tes. It says that that if a house, if there's an open door to the Rishus HaRabim, that there's no violation of Yichud. A man can be in a private room with a woman as long as the door is open to the Rishus HaRabim. So what's the reason for that? Now, again, we're dealing with men and women who are good people and they are frum and they are halachic. But sometimes, even with people who are good and they are modest, but sometimes when they're in a certain situation, so perhaps their emotions, their passions might get the best of them, and internal motivation might not be sufficient. So if there is an external motivation, like there's a door open to the Rishus HaRavim and anyone can walk in at any time, so that would be enough to deter someone. Again, we're talking about good people, that they won't let the passions get the best of them because of this external motivation of Pesach Pasuch, of the door being open. What about video surveillance? So there it seems that even though there's a dispute whether the video surveillance works or not, it seems that the poskim probably agree that you actually don't, technically speaking, you might not need someone to actually see the couple, but the video surveillance would serve to deter the two people, the man and the woman, from potentially engaging in inappropriate behavior. And the only dispute amongst the poskim is whether this mechanism of video surveillance works, because whether it's a sufficient deterrent. In other words, there's no halacha that actually someone has to see the man and the woman. It's just that there needs to be enough of a fear of a mirsus on the man and the woman that they're not going to engage in any inappropriate behavior. It should be noted that a number of poskim say that video surveillance is insufficient. Rav Yashiv thought that the camera was not a valid leniency because the video could be destroyed or altered. The Shevet HaLevi of Chaim Kanievsky also felt this way. Interestingly enough, Rav Nissen Karaletz, and he's discussing the issue, so he takes the view that there's a difference as whether there's a person there or whether there's video surveillance. What's the difference? That he says that when, let's say, a door to the house is open, so the man and the woman are constantly concerned that someone will walk in on them, and therefore they're going to refrain even from deciding to potentially move to a secluded area in the house. However, a video camera, it's not the same as when someone physically can walk in. It's not the same feeling of fear, video camera, when there's someone physically there. Is that what he calls, from Nissen Karolitz calls, as the hergesh and the ratzon lachto is more, the desire to sin is more there with the video surveillance than when someone is physically potentially going to walk in. So again, he sort of goes back and forth of the potential leniency. Rav Zalman Nechemya Goldberg is lenient. He says that a camera does prevent against yichud. He writes where at least three people are viewing or could view the video. And he actually says yichud is permitted even if the camera is not in every room in the house, as long as it's in the main rooms and the people are in these main rooms. I know that I spoke to Rabbi Willig about this, and Rabbi Willig thought that, number one, obviously if someone is watching the camera, or even periodically watching the camera, that is enough of a deterrence for yichud. This would come into play, let's say, if a boy and a girl are going out on a date to escape the room, and they're in a room together, and the door is locked. So is that an issue of yichud? So since there's someone monitoring the video every once in a while in case they need help, so he thought this would not be an issue of yichud. There are some poskim who are strict. Rabbi Willig is lenient. And Rabbi Willig thought you can even be lenient even if there's a surveillance camera that people potentially could watch it, as long as you are in the area where there is the camera. You can't walk into the area where there's no camera. We're not concerned that you're going to walk into the area where there's no camera. Just the leniency to be in a room with a woman if there is a camera, so that would apply in the rooms where there is a camera, but if there's no camera, obviously the leniency does not apply. So in this instance, video surveillance could work. When it comes to, let's say, kashrus, so What's interesting is that Rav Moshe Feinstein famously has a leniency. This is in Yoredei Chelek Aleph, Siman Mem Zayin, for example, where he talks about there's a leniency about Cholav Stam, where he says that we know that in let's say in America, where it's forbidden according to the law to, let's say, use pig's milk, to produce pig's milk. So because every milk dairy farm is obligated to use milk from a kosher animal, so this is enough of a deterrent from someone from producing, let's say, pig's milk or milk from a non-kosher animal. And we can assume that. We can assume that that all the milk that we're drinking comes from a kosher animal. All milk that we buy in America, at least, comes from an animal that is kosher. Now, Rav Moshe does write, but a Baal Nefesh should be machmir. A soulful person should be strict, because potentially, maybe, you know, you never know. But even though Meikar Hadin, we could be lenient, a Baal Nefesh could be machmir. There's an article in Headlines which discussed these issues, and it was suggested that maybe if there is a dairy farm, that there is video surveillance. So maybe then, even if you're a Baal Nefesh, you could be lenient in this instance, because the whole reason why Baal Nefesh should be strict, because maybe even though a dairy farm is obligated to use only milk from a kosher animal, maybe one day they're going to decide they're going to milk a non-kosher animal. But if there's video surveillance, so maybe even then a Baal Nefesh can be lenient. I asked some kashrus experts as to whether you can use video surveillance for hashgacha. And again, the purpose, oh, sorry, just one extra point, is that when it comes to, so Chalav Stam, so the Chassam Sofer, who is strict, and he would not allow, if someone follows the Chassam Sofer, we would not allow milk the milking was not supervised by a Jew. It seems that he requires actual physical presence. Now, there's not a din in, we need, the halacha of Chalav Yisrael is not simply that you need a Jew to be there to watch the milking process, because we're concerned if the Jew's not present, then the person may milk a non-kosher animal. No, there's a halacha that a Jew must watch the milking process. And even if you know for sure that the dairy farmer is not going to use a non-kosher animal, because otherwise he's going to get a fine, otherwise reputation is going to be ruined, it's irrelevant according to the Chassam Sofer. There is a ritual halacha, as it were, that you need a Jew to watch the milking process, or else the milk is non-kosher. So if you hold like the Chassam Sofer, then a video surveillance presumably would not work. Sorry. So that being said, in kashrus situations, so very often you need like a yotzi v'nichna, under some circumstances, you just need someone to walk in and out and once in a while check the manufacturing companies to make sure that they're doing everything appropriately and they're not doing anything inappropriately, and you do spot checks. So the question is, would video surveillance work? In practice, as I spoke to a few people from the kashrus industry, in practice, mainstream kashrus organizations, OU standard kashrus organizations, would not rely on video cameras. I mean, they might rely on video cameras to make sure mashgichim are doing their job, but they would not rely on video cameras instead of a mashgiach, because it's very easy to sort of trick the system, or for someone, if someone wants to cheat and they know where the cameras are, if they want to put some, you know, non-kosher, they want to use some non-kosher ingredients, or they want to do something that involves something that would be forbidden, it's easy to tamper with the system, even if you have video cameras. And therefore, it seems from my discussions with people from kosher organizations, that video surveillance would not be an appropriate substitute for a mashgiach. Again, even though there might not be a ritual halacha that a mashgiach actually has to see the process, the purpose of a mashgiach, let's say who's yotzei v'nichnas, goes in and out when it's legitimate, is simply to make sure that the company is put on notice that someone could walk in at any time. So video surveillance would generally not take care of that problem, would not create that mirsus, that fear of not doing anything wrong. One final issue that the question of video surveillance is raised. There are many issues, but another one could be the Rav Avad Yosef writes in Yechaved Das Chelak Beis Simon Chav Ches V'Dasha Roas Hamelach BeTelevizia. If someone sees the king on television, if he doesn't recite the bracha on kings, there's a bracha when you see a king, then you say a bracha. So that's only when you see the king live. It's not when you see it on video or similarly. If you see the Grand Canyon or you see a site, a beautiful site, but you see it on TV, and there are brachos, then when you see something, a tremendous creation back that Kadosh Baruch Hu created, a wonder of the world. So then there are brachos to recite, but that presumably is only when you see it also live and not when you see it by a television, because that bracha is probably based on the experience of physically seeing the king or physically seeing this particular site. So what we've seen is that sometimes video surveillance or video camera or seeing something through technology is an appropriate substitute for seeing the thing itself, like, for example, according to some poskim, a heter of yichud. But sometimes seeing something through video surveillance or video camera is insufficient. Why is it insufficient? It might be insufficient because you actually need to be physically present, like perhaps a minyan, or perhaps like a de kiddushin. Perhaps sometimes that maybe the halacha is that you don't actually physically need to see it, but video surveillance cannot accomplish what would not create the knowledge with certainty that could be created with actual seeing something. Like, for example, video surveillance instead of a mashgiach. And again, like I mentioned, sometimes like seeing a king or seeing a wonder of the world, that actually requires actual presence of seeing the items, of seeing the king or the place. So it's important to know that it's not true that video surveillance always works. It's not true that video surveillance never works. It depends on the halacha. It depends on the situation. Does the situation require actual viewing, actual presence? Does it require simply knowledge, which can be accomplished through video surveillance, or does it require knowledge, but video surveillance would not be sufficient in order to provide that knowledge?